Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 14 to 18 tonight. In case you were wondering, this is our 11th installment in the book of Philippians in the past few months. And last week we looked at verses 12 and 13, some of the more familiar verses that in the book of Philippians, where we saw God's command that we are to work out our own salvation, which we said means that we are to pursue holiness in all and in every area of our lives, but that we do so with confidence because, as Paul reminds us in verse 13, God is working in us, both giving us the desires for obedience and the ability for obedience as well. In our passage tonight, Paul then moves on to a particular command in light of what he has already said. So let's read now. We're looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. I'll be reading from the New King James Version this evening. Let's hear God's word. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can worship you again this evening. We pray now that you would enable us by your Spirit to understand your word, that we would be changed, and that you would help us apply it to our lives as we go into this world to serve you this coming week. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My son Micah has always been interested in flashlights. There's just something fascinating to him about being able to push a button or flip a switch that then turns on a small light. In fact, he has discovered the joy of going in the bathroom and then shutting the bathroom door behind him, turning off all the lights in the bathroom so that he could turn on his flashlight and look at the wall and look on the door, seeing this flashlight produced so much light in a dark little room. However, his understanding of what he thought was a little gadget or a fun toy to play with changed recently when we went to a retreat out in the woods at Camp Pioca, when we were in absolute blackness at night. And then he turned on his flashlight, and what used to be a toy and a fun little thing to play with all of a sudden became a necessity, a tool that we needed, because without that flashlight, we could see nothing. And yet when he turned on the flashlight, we could find our way. Now, we understand this, don't we? We understand that in order to see in darkness, we need light. And this is why the promise in our passage this evening that as Christians, you shine like lights in the world is so important. The world is dark. The world is lost and dying. And so in order for hope to survive, Christians like you and like me are needed to hold out the offer of the gospel as we live like lights in this world. And as we'll see in our passage this evening, in order for you to shine like lights, your witness and my witness cannot be tainted by complaining and arguing, because it distorts the message of the gospel. And that's why when you seek to put off grumbling in your life, it's important that you're not deceived into thinking that it only affects you or it only affects our congregation. It is instead an issue that is directly connected to your witness for Christ. So as you put on thankfulness instead of complaining and arguing, you are living the gospel. and shining like that flashlight, illuminating the darkness around you and showing the way. And so, therefore, as we look at this passage this evening, the main point that we need to see is this. As children of God, let your light shine brightly in this dark world by living with thankfulness. As children of God, let your light shine brightly in this dark world by living with thankfulness. Children, if you're going to draw a picture tonight, why don't you draw a picture of a light shining in a dark room? Because the Bible, our passage tonight, says that we as Christians are like lights shining in a dark place. I've given you outlines on the back chair. If you need to grab one, that's fine. But the first thing we see then is that the Christian life is to be lived without complaining and disputing. And so let's look now at verse 14. Paul says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Right? Here Paul gives a broad command to the Philippians to not complain and dispute. And you could also translate these words murmur or grumble and argue. Notice also that he says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." There's no limit to this command. That it doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what you're doing, doesn't matter what time of day it might be. Right? There is no place for this. Complaining and arguing is always sinful. Well, in this context, why does Paul give this specific command to the Philippians? Well, for one, as we've seen throughout our studies in the book of Philippians, this church, the Philippian church, lacked unity. Most likely, there was already complaining and disputing going on in the church, which was obviously then disrupting their unity that Paul is after here. So, since Paul was aware of this, he sought to address their sin by giving this command here in verse 14. Furthermore, Paul knew that because of their present circumstances, there would be a temptation to complain against God as well. Interestingly, in this verse, the Greek word Paul uses for complaining is the same word used throughout the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Bible that Paul would have been using in his ministry, to speak of the complaining, grumbling Israelites. And so what Paul is doing here is drawing their attention back to their spiritual ancestors, the Israelites, and using them as an example for them not to follow. If you remember, as the Israelites went through a time of testing as they traveled in the wilderness from Egypt to the Promised Land, right, they grumbled and complained against God time and time again because they were dissatisfied with their circumstances. Similarly, when this letter was written, the Philippians were also going through a time of testing as they were suffering for their faith. Is it not true that when you go through a trial, the temptation to complain and argue against God is so much more prevalent than at other times? We're prone to think things such as, "Why is God doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this? This isn't fair. Doesn't God love me?" It's easy to think these things in these times. Well, brothers and sisters, you and I are not unlike the Old Testament saints or the Philippian church. We are all sinners, and that's no secret. But with that then comes the temptation then to complain about one another in the church, to murmur under our breath or in our minds about each other. Or when there's a disagreement, to argue with each other. Or, since God has promised testing and trials in our lives, even to complain against God, being dissatisfied with what He's doing in your life. Paul gives us the command of the Lord here in verse 14. Complaining, disputing, arguing, murmuring, grumbling, these are sins that are to be put to death in our lives. And if we are to successfully do that, we must then put on something in its place. Which then brings us to our second point, that instead, the Christian life is to be lived with thankfulness. The Christian life is to be lived with thankfulness. And so let's read again verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, we may all know that complaining and disputing is sinful, but the reason it is sinful is because complaining and arguing reveals your inner pride and ungratefulness. You see, when you start to complain and argue, the reason you're doing so is because you think you deserve better than what you're getting, right? Either from God or from others. However, such prideful and ungrateful thinking only reveals that you, and I'm included in this too, that we have forgotten from where we have come. This is what happened to the Israelites. It was only 6 weeks after having been delivered out of slavery in Egypt that they began to complain and grumble about their circumstances. Complain against the Lord. In fact, they even said that they wanted to go back to Egypt because the food was better there. Right? But if they would have just stopped for one moment to think about what life really was like when they were in Egypt, they would not have wanted to go back. Right? It was horrendous and oppressive. You see, they forgot that they were unworthy sinners who were delivered out of slavery by the grace of God. Instead, they fell into the trap that is so easy even for us to fall into, in thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. Which thinking only then led to more complaining and more grumbling. Well, like the Israelites on their journey to the Promised Land, it could have been quite easy for the Philippians, and it can be easy for you and me as well, to forget that we don't deserve to be where we are or to be who we are. We are unworthy sinners. And whether we like to think about it or not, we deserve the righteous judgment of God. We are lawbreakers by nature. Yet, God in His mercy delivered you from bondage. Not from the power of a foreign land, but from sin and Satan and their power over you. He has freed you from the curse of the law, that you don't have to take the punishment you deserve. He's given you eternal life. And this isn't because you're worthy of this. You're not and I'm not. Yet God unconditionally set His love upon you, choosing you, bringing you out of darkness, and saving you from your sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so in Christ, you are a redeemed child of God now, with all the benefits that come with it. And therefore, you and I, we have nothing to complain about. What more could we ask for? I've given you a quote on the back of your outline from the commentator Sinclair Ferguson, who says this. He says, "Grumbling reflects deep ingratitude in the face of the saving grace and continuing activity of God." Deep ingratitude. You see, as Paul says in Romans 8:32, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Brothers and sisters in Christ, if God did not withhold His own Son from you, then He will not withhold any good thing from you either. You are His child now. And so He continues to graciously work all things in your life to your ultimate good. This is His promise to you, no matter what may appear to be the case at times. And so instead of complaining and arguing about God or about others, we need to remember from where we have come. that we are undeserving sinners who have been saved by the sheer grace of God. And as we remember that, we need to live our lives in thankfulness to God. As you all know, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving Day this coming week. Perhaps some of you, as you sit around the dining room table with your family members, you might take some time to share with one another what you're thankful for. In fact, I've seen on Facebook this month of November that they're pushing for this idea of every day posting something that you're thankful for on your Facebook page. Now, don't get me wrong. Saying what you are thankful for is a good thing, but living a life of thankfulness requires so much more than that. Saying thank you and being a thankful person are two completely different things. Living a thankful life entails obeying the Lord, serving the Lord from a willing heart that wants to serve Him at all times. It's a mindset that does not forget from where you have come, from what you have been delivered and redeemed. It's a way of life that humbly loves others and puts up with their shortcomings as the Lord Jesus puts up with us day after day. And it's a way of life that humbly submits to the will of the Father at all times, knowing that if He did not withhold His Son, He will not withhold any good thing from us, no matter what our circumstances happen to be. And so here in this verse, we are called to put to death complaining and grumbling and arguing and put on thankfulness, because the Christian life is to be lived with thankfulness. Well, thirdly, then, as you live with thankfulness, you shine as lights in a dark world. As you live with thankfulness, you shine as lights in a dark world. And so let's look now at verse 15 into the beginning of verse 16. Paul says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. In this verse, Paul gives a purpose statement for why you should do all things without complaining and arguing. And so that you may become increasingly blameless and harmless, or pure would be a better translation. In other words, as you serve the Lord with thankfulness at all times, more and more, right, you are living in such a way that makes you unable to be blamed by others for wrongdoing. That you are living, in greater accord with who you are in Christ, a child of God, Paul says here. And insofar as your conduct reflects the character of your Father in heaven, right, you are unable to be faulted by others. This is the essence of what he's saying here. Now, of course, unbelievers will always find fault with your actions because they are hostile to righteousness. But what Paul is saying is that as you live your life without complaining and disputing, but rather instead with thankfulness at all times, no one will be able to have just cause for accusing you of offense. As Paul goes on to say, this way of living, thankful living, becoming more and more blameless in the world, causes you to shine as lights in a dark world. At the end of verse 15, Paul tells the Philippians that the world they live in is crooked and perverse. It's not as it should be. It's morally warped, as one commentator put it. It's wicked. It's dark. When Jesus was on earth, he referred to the world he lived in by these same words. And now in 2012, nothing has changed. Right? The world we live in remains a crooked and perverse generation. And this is why, as you live your life in thankful service to Christ, you are a light in a dark world. Because those who live in the darkness do not live thankful lives in obedience to Christ. They grumble and complain in their rebellion against Christ, which means, though, and this reminds us, that when we grumble and complain, and for that matter, when we disobey at all, we are smothering the light that should be radiating from us. And we are blending in with the darkness. Right? But the children of God who have been called out of darkness and into the light are to live differently from the world around us, which, of course, then makes us stick out, just like light sticks out in a dark place. Therefore, people should be able to look at you and look at how you live your lives and see such an obvious difference from the darkness that they ask, what is this? How are you so different? What makes you live this way? What are you living for? Who are you living for? But light does more than stick out in the darkness. Light also directs people's paths. Light directs people's paths. If you've ever been to the city of Pittsburgh, then you'll know that is not an easy city to navigate. Unlike Indiana, the roads in Pittsburgh do not necessarily run north or south or east or west. And so when we lived there for the past 3 years, often we used our GPS. Because as long as we could punch in the address, it would take us where we needed to go. Unfortunately, in Paul's day, they did not have GPSs. And so most travelers at those times, what they would do then is look at the stars that were shining brightly in the dark sky, to guide them and show them where to go. You see, as lights shining in a dark world, you are to guide others to safety. I've given you a quote from Sinclair Ferguson. He says, "Christians are the bright lights in an otherwise dark world. They are the stars by which others may learn to chart a course to the safety which can be found only in Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, you are witnesses for Christ in this world. And to witness effectively, you then need to hold fast to and hold forth the word of life, as Paul says at the beginning of verse 16. And the Greek word Paul uses here means both of these things, to hold fast to and to hold forth. But I don't think you need to pick one meaning over the other, because in order to shine as lights, you need to do both. You need to hold fast to the gospel if you are to live rightly. But you also need to hold forth the gospel so that others can receive the new life that you have. It's popular today to say that I will evangelize by my actions, but not by my words. Have you ever heard of this? Yet in order to evangelize by your actions, they must be accompanied by your words. Because otherwise, your life will be like an uninterpreted parable. It's useless. If people are to be led to Christ by how you live, then you must tell them why you live the way you do. Right? People living in the darkness need to hear the word of life that will give them eternal life. And as the light of the world, Christians, you are to hold forth his gospel so that others too can be saved for the glory of God. And so as you live with thankfulness, in fact, when there is any obedience to Christ in your life, you shine as lights in a dark world. Well, fourthly, then, as you live with thankfulness, shining as lights in the world, you will bring great joy to those ministering to you and even to yourself. We see this in verses 16 to 18, but to get the flow of Paul's thought, let's go back to verse 14 and read the entire passage again. He says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me." So here Paul gives another purpose statement. The Philippians are to do all things without complaining and disputing, but instead with thankfulness, growing in blamelessness, as the children of God they are in Christ, shining as lights in a dark world. And this may be unexpected, right? But so that Paul can rejoice on the day of Christ that his labor was not in vain. You see, Paul knew that the quality of his work would be evaluated on Judgment Day. And so he exhorts the Philippians here to thankful obedience so that he can have joy on that day. Now, don't misunderstand what he's saying. Right? He's not saying that he will be able to boast in himself on that day. Rather, he's saying that he wants to be able to rejoice on that day in what God has done through him in the lives of the Philippians. Paul knows, he says this in the New Testament, that he labors by God's grace. And he knows, as he just said in verse 13, that all spiritual growth comes from God working in his people. But like any laborer, Paul wants to know that his work has not been in vain. That God really has been working through him in the Philippians. And so Paul encourages them to faithfully and thankfully serve Christ to the end in order to give him joy on that future day. He then goes on to say in verse 17 that even if he's poured out as a drink offering on the sacrificial offering of the Philippians' faith, he will rejoice. Now here Paul is using sacrificial language from the Old Testament to explain that the Philippians' life of obedience, their life of obedience, is their sacrificial offering to the Lord, right? Flowing from their faith. And in the sacrificial system of worship, once a burnt offering or a sacrificial offering was laid upon the altar, it was then completed by pouring out a drink offering of wine. We read of this in places such as Numbers 15, verses 3 to 12, although I won't take the time to read those verses right now. And so what Paul is saying here is that even if he is the drink offering that is poured out, speaking here of his possible future execution for preaching the gospel, he's still happy to have been used by God in the lives of the Philippians. That he knows, even if he dies, it's because he preached the gospel by which the Philippians were saved. And that even if he dies, God would use that to further confirm their faith. See, being used in the sanctification of the Philippians brought Paul great joy, no matter what happened to him. You see, the one who labors at ministering to others receives joy in knowing that God is really using him in the lives of others. And brothers and sisters, you need to know that your obedience to Christ brings great joy to your elders. And it is a cause of joy for us. And it's a cause for joy for anyone who has ever ministered to you. But God's work in your life through his ministers should not just give joy to the ministers. It should give joy to you as well. In verse 18, Paul calls the Philippians to a similar joy. That he didn't want them to be sorrowful if they heard of his death in the future. Instead, if he was executed, he wanted them to also rejoice in what God had done and in what God was doing in their lives through Paul's ministry. And likewise, as you see yourself living for Christ with thankfulness more and more, shining as a bright light in a dark world, you should rejoice in what God is doing in your life through those who minister to you. If as we live thankful lives in service to Christ, our focus is always on what God is doing, there is great joy to be had in the sanctifying work of God, both to those who minister to you and even to yourself. And so, brothers and sisters, as you do all things without complaining and disputing, living as the children of God that you are in Christ. You shine as lights in a dark world, and you give joy both to yourself and to others in doing so. And so as the children of God, let your light shine brightly in this dark world by living with thankfulness. Let's pray. Our Father, we confess how often it is that we complain and grumble. We don't like the way things are. We wish things were different. We wish this person didn't annoy us so much, or whatever it might be. We're so prone to this, to complain against others and even to complain against you. But Lord, would you forgive us? And would you help us to put to death these sins in our lives and to put on thankfulness? Because thankfulness is to be the characteristic of a Christian life. That we are people who have been delivered out of bondage, who have been given newness of life by your grace alone. So help us, Lord, not to forget that, but rather to seek by your grace to put on thankfulness, that as we do so, we would know that we are shining as lights, that we are different in this world, and we are to be different in this world. But that as we do so, we are to be pointing people to the Savior who has given us this new life, who has brought us out of darkness and into life. And Lord, how we thank you as well that there is great joy to be had for all Christians as we live as lights more and more by your grace. And so help us as we go into this week to live thankful lives, that in doing so, we would shine as bright lights in a dark world. For your glory we pray. Amen.